الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. صدق الله العظيم. In our previous session, of course, which wasn't last week, but before that we were talking about how Quran was compiled during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And in that regard, I also mentioned that Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in heard the Quran in the proper order as they used to recite it. Of course, the way we have it nowadays, the order that we have nowadays is not the order of revelation. This is the order of recitation, because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive any ayah of Quran al-Kareem, he was informed by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam where to place that ayah in the Quran. So each time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive any ayah of Quran al-Kareem, he would tell Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa ajma'in, ضعوها في موضع كذا من السورة كذا. Put it in such and such place in such and such surah. Because Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in used to write these ayahs whenever a new revelation would come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call one of these Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to write it down for him. And he would tell them exactly where to put that ayah. And this is how Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in memorized Quran al-Kareem in the form that they were informed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the order that they were told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about that order through Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. So the order of the surahs and the order of the ayahs and the name of the surahs are all assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the revelation, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked to put everything in its proper place the way it is now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was receiving the ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem every year, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam used to come to him once to repeat everything that was recited, that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to that time. And the procedure was that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam used to read to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam everything that was revealed to him up to that point. Every Ramadan, this used to be every Ramadan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then will read it back to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, the whole thing up to that point. This was every Ramadan. just the last Ramadan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life in this world, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this year in Ramadan, we are not going to repeat this procedure only once, we will do it twice. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam recited the whole Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the whole Quran back to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. After finishing it once, now again Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam recited the whole Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it back to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. When Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi wa jma'in realized that it was done twice this year, so they knew that there is something very special about it. And therefore, all of these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in started taking all of their writings, whatever they had in writing, the ayahs of the Quran and the surahs of the Quran, they started taking it back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, Ya Rasulullah, I would like to read this ayah back to you from my writing to make sure that it's in the same exact form as you and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam have revised it. Which means the ayah was not abrogated. He did not make any mistake in writing the ayah and memorizing the ayah. So they would confirm it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever they had in writing, not necessarily that every Sahabi will be confirming the whole Quran. Some of them, for example, have Surah Yasin written with him. So they will recite, they will go back and recite Surah Yasin to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially, and it was very important for those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, who used to write the revelation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they used to save it for themselves. They used to keep it with themselves. Everything was not saved at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home. It was saved at their own homes. So they started taking all of these writings back that they wrote from the revelation. Taking it back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, confirming it, Ya Rasulullah, is this is part of the final revelation, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would confirm it for those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. But later on, there were some Orientalists who felt that this Quran is not in proper order. We have to do some research about Quran to bring it back in the order that it was revealed in. Muslims have changed the order of the Quran, and we, the Christians and the Jews, have to put the Quran in proper order. And they started doing their research on Quran. And on the name of research, they started changing the order of the Quran. In the beginning, they would only change the order of the surahs. And gradually, they started getting into changing the order of the ayahs also. They will say, no, this ayah doesn't belong to Surah Al-Baqarah. These Muslims made mistakes. Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi ajma'in didn't know too much about it. They made a mistake. So they would try to put this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, fill it somewhere else. Take an ayah from Surah Al-Imran, fill it in Surah Al-Baqarah. There was a person, Arthur Jeffrey. He started doing this type of effort. And he wrote some articles about the subject saying that this Quran is not authentic at this point because the order is not correct. It's true that Muslims have memorized it, they have preserved it, but since they don't know the right order of it, therefore they cannot derive the right understanding out of it. So therefore, he started doing his research about changing the order of Qur'an al-Kareem. And of course, he came up with a new Qur'an. Arthur Jeffrey came up with a new Qur'an in which he had changed all the orders of the surahs of Qur'an al-Kareem. In other words, they would take the hadith from Bukhari and say, okay, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق has to be the first surah, not surah Fatiha. So they would put Surah Al-Alaq in the beginning of Quran. And accordingly, then Surah Al-Mudassir, and then Surah Al-Muzammil, and they would change the order of the whole Quran. There was another person, J.M. Rodwell. He wrote a whole Quran, new Quran for himself, you can say. Before writing, bringing up that Quran, he wrote a book. And that book was really used a lot in, as a reference book in many of these, in many of the universities where they have Islamic faculties and Islamic subjects, and where they seem to teach, or at least they claim that they teach Islam. The name of the book is also very amazing. He says the name of the book is New Research into the Composition of Quran. On the name of this research, this man was the first person who changed the whole order of each and every ayah of Quran. Of course, these people were doing it, and they still continue doing the same thing. But unfortunately, many Muslims were attracted by the idea. And we find that there were our own people who started following the same idea, that let's try to find out the right order of Quran. And when we say the right order of Quran, that simply means the one that me and you have doesn't have the right order, it's a wrong order. What's the reason behind it? These people have a special goal behind changing the order of the Quran. Nowadays, this is a very well known way. An effect that if you would like to hurt someone, change the facts of a life and change the facts that have been accepted by the whole world up to this day, and come up with something new, you don't have to curse at those people and tell them that you are wrong. You don't have to take their books and burn them down. You don't have to tell those people that whatever you are following is false. All you do is tell them that I'm doing a research. On the name of research, today you can do anything in the world. On the name of research, they will do research on the prophets of Allah, wal'ayazu billah, and then come up with a conclusion that God forbid, and wal'ayazu billah, that prophet, yeah, although he was right, and although he was very intelligent, and he was this and this and that, but these were the things that if he would have done them the other way would have been better. This is a research. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a good person. But the message would have been much more effective if someone else would have got the message. This is research. And this person who's doing the research, what can you tell him? Because he feels that when I studied history, this is what I feel. And you can do nothing about people's feelings. And the way they would present this will be that Islam is a good way. Islam is a real good way of life. But Muslims are not good. Quran is preserved, but the order is not correct. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very intelligent person. But there were some steps he took in his life that were not correct. This is research. So in the name of research, they will start changing the facts. You can change religions. You can change Quran, you can change the Ahadith. And amazingly, They will go back to our ahadith to change these facts about Quran al-Kareem, as I just mentioned. And we have to admit, in order to impress us with their work, there is a lot of study on the Quran. And there is a lot of study of the ahadith also. The first best index of ahadith that was written, it was written by some non-Muslims in 7 volumes, that still stands as one of the very good index of ahadith. That if you would like to find a hadith in any of the 6 authentic books of ahadith, of course nowadays in the computer age we will have much better softwares and ways of finding the ahadith in those books, but as far as the books are concerned, there are many more indexes of ahadith, but this was one of the best that was written at the time. A group of 7 or 8 of them from France who wrote that index of ahadith. Of course, the purpose was for them that whenever they are doing any research about Quran, they would like to find out the faults in the Quran and hadith, it's difficult for them to find a hadith. So let's write an index of hadith. And a person who doesn't even know the alphabets of the subject, when he would start writing an index for himself that I don't know nothing, and therefore I had to make such an index that easily I can find any hadith in any of these books. So he'll try to make it as easy and as simple and as comprehensive as he can. When a person who's master in the subject, when he would write it, he would think that these things are not needed. There are certain things that are well known, so I don't have to write nothing about it, waste my time for this. And that was the reason they made it so comprehensive that they would choose each and every word from these books of ahadith, and they would try to find all the other words that are related to this word in the ahadith and put all of them together. So they did some work about the hadith and indexes of ahadith. But of course, for the same purpose, finding faults in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I was mentioning that these people came up with the new Quran, with the totally new type of Quran that in which they had changed all the orders of the ayahs, and they started guessing. We have to remember this point, that no one can find the ahadith about all the ayahs of the Quran. There are some ayahs of ahkam that we can find the orders of those ayahs from the ahadith, that this ayah was revealed before the other ayah. But most of the ayahs of the Quran nowadays we cannot even find out when, where, in what state they were revealed. Someone wants to find out when was the story of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam revealed in Surah Al-Nuh. We can never find it out. The hadith never talk about those subjects. We will only find out about ahkam that this order was in the beginning of Islam and later on it was abrogated and the other order came later on. So accordingly we can guess, okay, this ayah has to be before the other ayahs. General rules might be, if a person takes an ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about jihad, so we can very well tell that this ayah was revealed after the hijrah, because before hijrah there was no jihad. These type of rules will tell us approximate idea when the ayah was revealed. But to get exact order of revelation of all the ayahs of the Quran and change them from the order they are in now, there is no way we can find a hadith about them. It will be only guesses. And this is exactly what the research means that they have been doing nowadays. This is what their research is about. So I was mentioning this Quran that we have. This is the order, and the order we have it in is the same order that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed it with Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam in the last years of his life, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this Quran in the same order to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam recited it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this order of Quran that we have it, there is no reason that anyone would even want to know any other order of the Quran and the order of the revelation, because Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in, although they were at that time, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was very easy for them to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, when was that surah was revealed? When was the other ayah was revealed? Ya Rasulullah, can you tell me the detail of each and every ayah, when they were revealed, in which order they were revealed? But they never asked this question. You won't find a single hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was requested by Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in, or without a request, thinking this is a very important subject of Islam, let's discuss and today in khutbah tell all the Sahaba about the proper order of the Quran that it was revealed in. No. He only told them the order in which he was asked to put the Quran in by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And they all memorized it in the same order as we have it nowadays. So we don't have any need to do any research on this Quran and try to make any changes in the order of Quran al-Kareem. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now wants it for us. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have written this Quran in Lawh al-Mahfuz. This is the real order of it. This Quran is in Lawh al-Mahfuz on the seventh heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ. It's preserved in a book by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the seventh heaven. لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. Only angels can touch that Quran. Human beings have no right to touch that one. And that Quran is in the same order as its as the Quran that we have. Only the revelation was a little different, because ayahs were revealing according to the need of the time. And ayahs were revealing according to the situations that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in might be facing at that time, and the circumstances of that time. But the Quran is in the same form as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved it in Lawh al-Mahfuz. So this is how Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in compiled Quran al-Kareem. Of course, as I mentioned, that during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, they wrote the ayah, the surahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem, each surah compiled in one booklet. Then during the time of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, they put all the ayahs of Al-Quran and all the surahs together, and they compiled it in the form of one book, the way we have it now. So during the time of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, it was compiled in the form of one book. At the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, we may say there were 114 booklets because of 114 surahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem. At the time, during the time of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, all the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in, they had a meeting and unanimously agreed that the way we have compiled the Quran now, and the writing that we have used, the text that we have used from now and in this ummah, from now on, no one is allowed to change even the form of the writing in Quran al-Kareem. It has to be preserved in the same way as it is written by those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And I gave you a simple example in one of the previous sessions, that if you take Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, normally Bismi has to be Ba and Alif, then Sin and Meem, being Ismi. But in our Qur'ans we find it Bismi without the Alif, Ba, Sin, Meem. And we have to keep on writing it the same way as it was written by those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And this is the reason, a very important point that we have to remember, that this is the reason that all the scholars of the Ummah have agreed, and there is no difference of opinion about it, that is not allowed to write the Quran in any other language, which means we are allowed to translate the Quran, write the meanings of Quran, but we are not allowed to write the Quran into the Arabic language, as we may call it transliteration, that reading it, instead of writing Ba, Sin, Meem, we write B, ISM Bismi, this is not allowed. It is not allowed to write the Quran in that form. And a very simple way to understand this will be, if you write it in that form and then ask someone who doesn't know the Quran to read it to you from their from that text, read it to you in English, you'll find that it's nothing even close to what you think the Quran is about. And changing the Quran like that is not allowed. This is how the people changed their books in the previous ummah, the previous nations. This is how their books were changed. Because there are so many letters in the Arabic language that have no pronunciation in any other language. You cannot pronounce off in the English. You have to use either Q or K for it, which is nothing close to off. There is no ta in it. In Arabic language, we have three letters which are very similar: va, dal, and za. What letters do we have to replace these three letters? It will be the same letter that we will have to keep on repeating for all three of them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the Quran, in the hadith, that this Quran has to be pronounced and recited exactly the same way as it was recited by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam when he recited it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the same thing in the same way to Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also assigned some Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in that if anyone would like to learn Quran should learn it from these Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, because they recited exactly the way I recited. So Quran has to be learned from those who have learned it from teachers. Just reading it from the books most of the time will make mistakes, even reading it just in the Arabic. And imagine if you would read it, it's in Roman text, and then we try to read the transliteration, and it will be totally something different than what the Quran that we have. So it's fault. Rasulullah scholars have said that مَنْ لَمْ يُجَوِّذِ الْقُرْآنَ فَهُوَ آثِمُ. Whoever does not recite the Quran in the way it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person is getting sin for not correcting his recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to salatu wa sallam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.